Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd of Idea Dudes. In this show, we're going to discuss configuring server clusters. Who am I? I've been in the industry for over 23 years. I've worked with the United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, Army, government, and companies around the world. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. So the fundamentals are three types of clustering that we have in Windows Server 2008. We have round robin, NLB, which is network load balancing, and failover clusters. Now, when we talk about round robin, it's a simple method of distributing workload among multiple servers. So what we're going to do is we're going to have an IP address that's going to be the same, we're going to have a different DNS servers out there, and we're going to connect them. It's called round robin. When one is not available, it goes over to, it should, well, it's not automatically going to go over to the next one. But what it's going to do is it's going to balance the load. So it's not a fault tolerance type of environment. It's more of load balancing. DNS server is configured with more than one record to the resolver, another to an IP address. Now, in the round robin process, when clients query the DNS server to resolve the name of the other server, what it's going to do is it's going to cycle through the records one at a time, and it's going to point each successive client to a different address and a different machine. So as the clients are coming through, they're going to be sent to a different machine. In essence, we're creating a load balancing type of effect. The purpose of DNS round robin is to load balance the client requests among the servers, so we don't have one server being overabundant with the traffic and the requests. Now, the advantage is easy to configure and enable at most DNS servers by default. And you create additional or appropriate DNS records on the DNS server. Now, the limitations of the target server is down. It's not going to automatically redirect it. What it's going to do is keep on trying to get to the same one. Every record is given the same weight also. And the cache DNS server and the client will redirect to the same server. Because what we have is caching. And caching is keeping the same information so that when a client goes to connect, it's going to use that same server over and over and over unless we clear the cache, which what we do is we do ipconfig/flushDNS, and that'll get rid of the information when it's stale. Now, network load balancing is our next clustering feature. All the clients are addressed by the same IP address, which is known as a cluster IP. When a client needs to get connection, then there's a mathematical calculation that is done and figures out which server that the information should go to. Because what happens is you have the cluster IP address, you have two NIC cards. One's for the internal, for the heartbeat, and the other is a connection to the actual physical network. What happens is when a client comes in, it's going to be redirected to one of the servers that are underneath the cluster. Now, the cluster IP address is the one that they're going to connect to, and then the other IP or the other address that's going to be used is the MAC address that's associated with the NIC card. The client will be directed to the resulting server. This is a feature of Windows Server 2008. Again, it's not a server role, it's a feature of Windows 2008. What are the advantages? It automatically detects the down server and will redirect the traffic away from that server. So what happens is you have a heartbeat going between each of the different servers. I'm okay, you're okay, I'm okay, I'm not okay. When I'm not okay, what will happen is it'll go and send it to the other server. Now, why would we use this? Here's an example. Say you go to Barnes & Noble. You get a 404 error. That means the page is not found. You go to Barnes & Noble. You get a 404 error. How likely are you going to go back to that website again? Not likely. And it's been proven, or Barnes & Noble and these different websites out there, they can lose millions of dollars per hour for a down server. So it's very important that those servers are available. So they use some type of clustering type of environment, like network load balancing. So when that server is not available, it's going to switch over within about 3 seconds. It also supports scalability because we can go up to 32 nodes. Now, here's a caveat. Because of port affinity and some of the other problems that you have with network load balancing, the software version, you should use the hardware version when you're going above 8. If you have more than 8 servers, nodes, then what you want to do is you make sure that you can use network load balancing for 8 and above, but it's not recommended because it does have some limitations. So failover clustering is our next type of clustering. And it's called cluster, two or more computers banded together to provide redundancy. One cluster node goes down, then the other one will take over. It has a heartbeat between the two. There's a shared storage unit that is physically connected to all the servers in the cluster. Now, configuring an NLB cluster, you install Windows 2008 on two or more machines. You configure the service or application IIS on all the servers. Identical configurations. So you're going to have shared configuration, which we'll talk about with IIS in the next course. Install the NLB feature. All servers are joined in the cluster, so it'll be attached to the same IP address. Configure the cluster. Next, we talk about creating a failover cluster. You configure the physical hardware for the cluster. You need to make sure that the cluster hardware is supported by Windows 2008 server. You go into failover, install the failover cluster feature, which is underneath the server manager. Run the failover cluster validation tool. What the failover cluster validation tool is going to do, it's going to check to make sure that all the hardware that you're using for the failover cluster is supported by Windows 2008. What happens is Microsoft goes through and they test all the different drivers and so forth to make sure the operating system supports. Once it does, then they give it the seal of approval, which is Windows 2008 ready. You create the cluster, you configure the cluster, define availability of the services. So if you're going to be using like SQL Server, Exchange, or whatever you're going to be using. And you use the high availability wizard to make the services available. Now, what are the failover cluster requirements? Well, like I said, you need servers, network adapters and cabling, device controllers, appropriate adapters for storage. They have to all support Windows Server 2008. If they don't, then forget it. Failover clustering will give you a warning. This warning tells you that if you do set this up, you have a problem, you come to Microsoft, they're going to charge you money for being stupid. Because what happens is, if you don't follow what Microsoft says with the clustering, they're not going to support it. They know what is going to work and what is not. Because what Microsoft does is they're dog food their own product. So what they do is they use it. They make sure that they understand how it works before they go and provide it to the public. So the failover cluster servers matches computers that consist of the same or similar components. You don't want them to be off balance. So same processors, disk configuration, and so, well, the disk types and so forth. This is a best practice to keep everything pretty much similar. Standardization. NIC and cabling must be compatible with Windows Server 2008. iSCSI NIC must be dedicated to network communication, or iSCSI, not both. Okay, so what we're talking about here is if we're using an iSCSI SAN, the NIC card must be dedicated to the network communications, so you'll have to have at least two NIC cards in there. Avoid having single points of failure for the networking. Use teamed NICs, where you've joined the NIC cards together. Redundant switches, so that you have another traffic path for the client or for the servers to be on. Similar hardware. Device controllers, serial attached, or you can also use fiber channel. Should be identical. Same firmware version. You don't want to have different firmware versions. You want to have the same thing. iSCSI adapter must be identical. Use gigabit Ethernet or higher. Because if you go and use 10 gigabit or 10 megabit, or 100 megabit, it's just not going to give you the throughput that you need. Shared storage, Windows Server 2008 compatible, at least two separate volumes, LUNs configured at the hardware level. First volume will function as the witness disk, holds a copy of the configuration database, quorum disks, and a second volume contains the shared files and folders, which are going to be basic disks, and you do not use dynamic disks when you're creating a failover cluster. You use basic disks, and you have to be NTFS. Quorum determines the number of failures that the cluster can sustain before a cluster stops running. And so this is one of the concepts that you have to understand with failover clustering, is quorum. Four quorum configurations. You have node majority, node and disk majority, node and file share majority, and no majority disk only. We're going to go over each of these different ones so you understand them. So the first one we look at is node majority. And this is recommended for clusters with an odd number of nodes. So if you have five nodes, then you want node majority. Runs as long as the majority of the nodes are running. Node and disk majority, recommended for clusters with an even number of nodes. So if you have six nodes, you want node and disk majority. Uses a witness disk as a tiebreaker node. And what this does is it keeps track of who has quorum so that we don't have split brain, where we have two nodes trying to be the one in charge. Runs as long as the majority of nodes are online and available. Then you have node and file share majority. This is recommended for clusters that have an even number of nodes. Lack of access to a witness disk. A witness file share is used as a tiebreaker node. And this is what we'd use, for example, for CCR, Cluster Continuous Replication, within Exchange 2007. Runs as long as the majority of these nodes are online and available, and uses a tiebreaker node again to make sure we don't have split brain. No majority disk only is not recommended. It runs as long as a single node and its storage remain online. So what we have is we have a single point of failure, and that's the one thing we don't want to have. Installing failover clustering feature, what we do is we go into the features of Windows Server 2008 underneath the Server Manager and install the feature. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Michael Kraut. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comments box below. Thank you for your time, and thank you for letting me into your world and talk to you about technology. Tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. Bye-bye now.